Alicia Calhoun. Alicia comes to us from the, I got to put my glasses on here. Right. The Center for Growing Talent. So the Center for Growing Talent is part of the Produce Marketing Association. And Alicia and Margie Pruitt have been active in Seed Your Future on our advisory board. So we're very happy to have you here today and interested in learning about how you're growing talent for our horticulture.
Great, thank you. So just so I know who's in the audience, who's from a university? Is that going to be the majority of you? Okay, who didn't raise their hand? And where are you from?
Longwood Garden.
Oh, yes. Love to have you here. So my name is Alicia Calhoun, and I'm the Vice President of Talent Programs from the Center for Growing Talent. And we met Susan a year or two ago when you first started, and I'm just so thrilled to see where you've come in just a short period of time. What she does is very near and dear to what we do on the fresh produce and floral side. So we're excited to see where that's going to continue to go. So let's see. So what is the Center for Growing Talent? Who has heard of Produce Marketing Association? Wow, that's awesome. Who wants to come up and help me? So we are the Center for Growing Talent. It's actually Center for Growing Talent by PMA. And we share PMA's vision to bring together the global produce and floral community to grow a healthier world. So everything that you're doing is very close to what our vision is from the overall PMA Association as well as from the Center for Growing Talent. Now, what's different is PMA's mission very simply is about bringing buyers and sellers together. So that's about connecting Chiquita with Acme or a grocery store or a food service operator, et cetera. Now, how we are different is that our mission is about building industry-specific solutions to help the produce and floral industry attract, develop, and retain talent. So that's where we're separate. We're part of PMA. They support us, but we are our own organization. So why the Center for Growing Talent? We were created in 2005, and really where we came from is a group of industry leaders had the challenge to us of where are we going to get the talent from? Most of our industry companies are family-owned businesses, and quite honestly, that upcoming demographic had no interest in working for the family business, so they were looking at us saying, what are we going to do to find the talent that we are going to need? And so they had a predicted war on talent, and what that meant was that they had no idea where that talent was going to come from. And what they were saying to us based on research was the estimate was in 2010 all the baby boomers were going to retire. And then what happened? 2008? Economy tanked. So then we have all these people that aren't going anywhere. We have all these young people that we've gotten excited, and we have no jobs for them because the boomers aren't retiring. They're not leaving. And so we really had to kind of take a step back and say, now what does that look like to us? If we can't get the younger people in, how are we going to have that knowledge transfer? How are we going to ensure that when they do leave, which is obviously happening, how are we going to ensure that these young people are going to have the information that they need to take us to the next level? How are we going to make sure our industry is planning for that talent? So our strategies are attract, develop, and retain, as I said. We're mostly known for attract, which is what you guys are going to be most interested in. That is really about making sure we build awareness about careers in the fresh produce and floral industry. So how are we going to do that as an association? So what we've had in place for the longest is our Career Pathways programs. Have any of you been involved in this program with us? Excellent. That's a really good thing. I'm glad no hands went up because I like to educate universities on what we have going on. Career Pathways has been in place since 2005, I believe, four maybe, even a little earlier than before we came along. It's a program that's focused on building awareness with university students, typically juniors, about the careers in the fresh produce and floral industry. We started with one program in 2004. Now we have 11 globally. We have eight in the United States, and then the remainder outside. We have one in South Africa, one in Australia, and we just started one in Mexico. And what we're doing is we're bringing university students into our industry programs, not necessarily just PMA programs, but industry programs overall, to bring them in with industry mentors, teach them what the industry is about. What does a career look like in the fresh produce industry? Initially, what do they think? It's farming. What did you say, Susan? Was it you? One of you said they all think it's the summer jobs and it's hot and it's outside. That's not all we need. Of course, we do need those, but that's not the only thing that we're looking at. And that's our job, is to make sure that they know what that looks like. We've brought 1,000 students through. We just hit 1,000 in one of our March programs. And we also have a 67% attraction rate. And what that means is, of those 1,000 students, once they've graduated from the university, 67% of them have come into the produce or floral industry. That's pretty good. We probably think it's a little higher, unless we stick like RFID tags in them. You know, they don't call Alicia to say, got a job. They better call their mom and dad first. But we can keep track the best we can through stalking them on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram and things like that. So that's what we're doing. Now, we have a 78% success rate with retaining them. So of those 67%, we even have a higher percentage of them that are staying. And that's really what we want to see, right? We want to make sure we keep them. We have about 150 students that go through the program a year, through all of those 11 programs. We have 200 industry volunteers that sync up with them, speak to them, mentor them, etc. Now, what we also have here is Immersion Academy. We've only had 67 students go through. It just started last November. The difference is we focus on juniors for career pathways. We focus on seniors for Immersion Academy. It's November. They're graduating the next spring. We are there to get them a job. That is our goal with the people, the industry members that are attending Immersion Academy. So what we have is five focus areas. At least we had five last year, and we continue with them this year. So we have production, food safety, marketing, engineering, and technology. What we keep hearing, obviously, is that they're looking for STEM students. They want individuals that can take their company to the next level. Our goal is to find them and to bring them together. So that's what we're doing with Immersion Academy. You know, Cynthia had talked about taglines. Our tagline for Immersion is rooted to succeed. That is our goal. Now, I have internship pilot. Our industry isn't really known for internships. It's my cousin Bob's sister's brother's nephew is coming home from university for the summer. What do you got for him? So what we are trying to do as an association is create a toolkit for them. A lot of companies in the produce and floral industry don't have HR representation. What can we do to help basically build that baseline for them to know the benefit of interns? We've had webinars, et cetera. But we've created customized forms for industry members to really get started with internships. We want to create a baseline understanding of what they can do to get started. So develop, I'm not going to focus too much on this because it's not really your area of focus, but our goal is to, once we get them into the industry, how do we help our industry members develop them so they can retain them? So we have an emerging leaders program focused on young, high potentials. We've had 300 participants come through that since the inception. We have a women's fresh perspective portfolio. We want to ensure that we are building up the leadership potential of the women in our industry. I always say produce is really a male-dominated industry, but quite frankly, what industry isn't a male-dominated industry? So we really do focus on women's leadership and competencies and how we can help increase them. Executive Leadership Exchange, that is what it says. It is focused on giving leadership opportunities to our executives within our industry. Really focus on a peer exchange. We want to get them all in the same room, talk about challenges, issues, etc., giving them the platform really that they can discuss those. And then the last thing on the screen there is a mentoring initiative. We created a platform, a virtual platform, for industry professionals to use to make connections for mentees and mentors. So that's going really well. We have over 350 participants in that. Now, last but not least, I need to talk about our retain strategy because that's going to tie directly back to our attract strategy. So why do employers, and quite honestly, the universities, care about retain? We know that this generation thinks very differently than most of us in the room. We know that it's just not pay them more, they'll stay. They're looking for flexibility. They're looking for what makes this a better world, sustainability, et cetera. A lot of the things that we've already heard today. And so we as an organization said, what are we going to do to help our industry retain the talent? Just a few statistics. By 2020, nearly 60% of the workforce is going to be millennials and Gen Z. That's more than half. We have to think differently. We have to think more like them as university and as industry. So how are we going to make sure that we retain them? This is really a scary number. 45% of all employees plan to stay for less than 2 years. Last month, I celebrated my 25th anniversary at Produce Marketing Association. Whoever stays someplace longer than 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 years, and now I've celebrated 25, these kids don't want to hear from me. That just doesn't happen anymore, right? So turnover is expensive. I think that one of the SHRM numbers I read is that it's the cost of like 6 to 9 months of salary. You're talking about training and onboarding somebody. You're talking about that knowledge transfer, the development costs you've put into that person. That's a lot of money that we want to help make sure doesn't go out of the room. However, when you're talking about millennials and Gen Zs, I don't know that we have much control over that. We can't change their mindset, really. But when you have the loss of productivity and hiring expenses of losing someone, we want to make sure that we try to fix that. How about this one? 71% of employees are looking for a new job. That's even scarier than the last slide I showed you. And that's people that you don't even know are looking. So that's really frightening. 90% of highly educated millennials plan to leave their employer in 3 years. Job hopping. That's what we hear about, right? Not always a bad thing. Sometimes we want them to go. But most of the times, if we put that time and effort and money into them, we want to try to keep them. So we're really focused on that retention strategy for that exact same reason. Look at those numbers. 64% of Mexican employers, 36% of global, 32% of U.S. and Canadian employers. They're really having difficulty filling lots of jobs. So I want to share with you what that looks like. So you guys are educating the future. You're helping employers hire the people that they need to make their company successful, right? However, recruiters are telling us that when they're hiring, they're often placing graduates in jobs that aren't even related to their degree. Now, my degree is in HR. My previous job, one of my previous jobs at PMA, those little PLU stickers on fruits and vegetables, I assigned those for the world. I didn't go to school for that. Nobody goes to school for that. So I certainly was one of the statistics that we're talking about. So we want to make sure that we are understanding what's going on in our industry. So if we look at the numbers that we got from this study, we know that when they're placing individuals, the frequency of them going in jobs that don't match the degree is very high. That's the numbers that you're seeing here on this screen. Now, the things that recruiters are telling us, and we all pretty much know this stuff, but 62% of students should, 62% become more familiar with the company, 60% ask questions relevant to the position, making sure that when they're in interviews, they're watching the body language, that they're speaking clearly about past experience. That's really critical because I have two teenage boys and I tell them, you know, when you're talking to somebody about job opportunities, talk about what you're doing in college and high school and things like that, because that is also leadership. That is past experience when you don't have past experience to showcase. So I think that's really critical to make sure that we're sharing with them. Now, some of the other things that we've learned that CEOs, I'm not going to read through the screen, but take a look at what CEOs are saying, that how students can improve as they're looking for jobs and keeping their jobs, quite frankly. Now, as I think about what universities can do to help, I'm sure most of you already do this through your recruitment offices, through your career services, et cetera, but certainly support across discipline learning. If we know that students aren't taking jobs in their major, how can we help support that? How can we help ensure they have a foundation of information across the board? Cultivating career competencies and social capital work through work-based learning, place teaching and learning at the heart of career competencies. Competencies, that's a word we hear quite often and that we want to make sure that we're clear with young people around. So, totally unrelated to what I've been talking about, but I had some conversations as I prepped for this presentation. And in closing, I wanted to share what I heard from some of the, and this is PMA industry members. So what are the most difficult to find candidates have a degree in? Now, we're produce, mostly. Food safety is going to be huge, right? A food safety crisis, it's not about if it's going to happen anymore. It's when. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when I started PMA, no company had a food safety manager. It just wasn't looked upon as needed. Now a company cannot live without one. Agronomy, business administration, that one surprised me. Engineers with an ag focus. Supply chain logistics, huge. How do you get product from China to the U.S. or vice versa? Integrated pest management, that's a huge area of focus that our members are saying they cannot find candidates in. Some of the most difficult jobs to fill, operations manager, warehouse manager. You know, a lot of these companies will say to me, when a student is coming out with a four-year degree or more or a higher degree, they don't want to do these level of jobs. So how do we help our industry find the individuals that they're looking for that's going to help make them most successful? What are some of the most difficult skills to find? The produce company is saying patience. Who has young kids? Patience? What's that? Pressure tolerance. That's huge. Everybody's being asked to do more with less. Business acumen, critical thinking, analysis, all very critical. As we evolved our initiatives, as we've grown as an organization to attract tomorrow's leaders, we know that we need to work with universities to help ensure that we're continuing to get those students involved in our industry. So I know that a lot of the work that we do around our attract strategy is really critical to being successful based on our university partners. We have a number of universities that we've been working with for 10-plus years, but we're always interested in hearing about other universities that are interested. How can we help you? How can we provide information to you that will help you with your job? So if there's anything I can do, I welcome conversations and connections with any of you. So thank you. Oh, one thing, I forget what we were, I think you were talking about diversity. One of our Career Pathway students, it made me laugh, it was a while ago, he came to one of our programs and he walked around after a couple days and he said, "Man, Alicia, this industry is really different." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It's really male, pale, and stale."
All right. So my guess is there might be, thank you all to our speakers for rounding out the topic very nicely. I suspect there may be some questions, but for the sake of time, because we've got about 25 minutes, I wanted to be sure to cover a couple of the questions on the recruiting summit to make sure, because we need some information from y'all. First of all, how many would be interested in attending or sending somebody from your department or unit to a recruiting summit? Okay, that looks like just about everybody. Okay. Next question. We've got a couple of options for timing of this. One option is to make it part of a SHS meeting. The other option, is to make it a self-standing event, potentially at Longwood Gardens. So those are the two options. How many would be interested in having it as part of a